Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Psychology of Stress is a concise applied psychology book in Routledge series, The Psychology of Everything, written by Charlotte Mottram with Allison Woodward and Shanti Farrington. In its subject is stress as a biological, psychological, social, and embodied experience rather than a purely mental problem or a simple reaction to pressure. The book explains why people become stressed, how stress symptoms arise, and why responses differ across individuals shaped by neurodiversity, culture, ethnicity, personal history, and social context. It draws on neuroscience, psychology, physiology, therapeutic practice, and movement-based approaches to present stress as something that can be understood and managed through integrated strategies, rather than treating coping as a matter of willpower. It emphasizes accessible interventions, bodily regulation, family and community support, and the need to challenge common myths about stress. Its purpose is both educational and practical, offering readers a clear framework for interpreting stress and selecting realistic ways to improve well-being. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, stress explained through an integrated mind-body framework. A central feature of the psychology of stress is its use of an integrated framework that connects mental health, physical health, and social context. This matters because stress is often described too narrowly, either as a psychological feeling such as worry, or as a bodily reaction such as tension, fatigue, or agitation. The book positions these aspects as mutually connected. Stress involves appraisal, emotion, nervous system arousal, hormonal activity, habits, environment, and available support. By treating these elements together, the authors avoid the misleading idea that stress is located only in the mind or only in external circumstances. The framework also helps explain why the same event can affect people differently. A demand at work, conflict at home, sensory overload, illness, or uncertainty may become stressful depending on the person's biology, prior experience, coping resources, and social environment. This approach gives readers a more useful map for intervention. If stress has multiple causes and pathways, management can also happen through multiple routes, including psychological understanding, bodily regulation, practical adjustment, movement, and relational support. The result is a model that is accessible without being simplistic. Secondly, the biology of stress as a basis for practical coping. The book gives attention to the biological underpinnings of stress and coping, which is important because stress symptoms can otherwise feel random, irrational, or purely personal. By explaining that stress involves physiological systems designed to respond to threat and demand, the authors make common experiences such as racing thoughts, muscle tension, disrupted sleep, irritability, and exhaustion more intelligible. This biological perspective does not reduce stress to chemistry alone. Instead, it shows how the body and brain coordinate responses that can be useful in short bursts, but harmful or draining when activated too often or for too long. Understanding this mechanism changes the meaning of coping. Coping is not simply telling oneself to calm down, because the stress response includes bodily activation that may need physical, sensory, respiratory, relational, or environmental support. The biological account also helps distinguish between acute stress, repeated stress, and overwhelming experiences that may require more sustained care. The practical value lies in normalization without minimization. Readers can recognize stress as a real embodied process, while still seeing that regulation is possible through informed, repeated, and context-sensitive strategies. Thirdly, neurodiversity, culture, and ethnicity as factors in stress response. One distinctive element of the psychology of stress is its explicit attention to neurodiverse cultural and ethnic perspectives. Many popular books on stress imply a universal model of pressure and coping, but this book recognizes that stress is experienced and interpreted through differences in perception, identity, environment, and social expectation. Neurodivergent people, for example, may experience stress in relation to sensory demands, communication norms, unpredictability, masking, or environments designed around neurotypical assumptions. Cultural and ethnic contexts can shape what counts as stressful, how distress is expressed, whether help seeking is encouraged, and what forms of family or community support are available. This perspective has practical consequences. A strategy that appears effective in a general model may be inaccessible, inappropriate, or incomplete for someone whose stressors are rooted in exclusion, misunderstanding, or culturally specific obligations. By including these dimensions, the book encourages a more flexible and equitable understanding of stress management. It does not present coping as a standardized checklist. Instead, it frames useful support as something that should be adapted to the person's lived context, bodily needs, social identity, and community resources. Fourthly, Movement as a Route to Stress Recovery and Integration, the book gives movement a prominent role in stress management, treating it as more than general health advice. The authors emphasize that physical activity can support recovery from stress, because stress is experienced through the body as well as through thought. Movement can help discharge activation, restore a sense of agency, interrupt rumination, and reconnect attention with bodily sensation. The discussion includes integrative practices such as yoga, tai chi, and pilates, which combine movement with breathing, balance, rhythm, and mental focus. These practices are relevant because stress often narrows attention and produces a fragmented sense of body and mind. Movement-based approaches can counter this by creating coordinated experience breath, posture, attention, and action working together. This does not mean that exercise is presented as a universal cure or a substitute for therapy, social change, or medical care. Rather, movement is positioned as one component in a broader coping repertoire. The reasoning is practical when stress manifests physically. Interventions that include the body may reach parts of the stress response that purely cognitive strategies may not fully address. Lastly, debunking stress myths and broadening available supports, the psychology of stress includes a focus on types of stress and the debunking of common myths, which helps readers move beyond familiar but unhelpful assumptions. Stress is often treated as either entirely bad, a badge of productivity, or something that strong people should manage alone. The book challenges this kind of simplification by placing stress within biological, psychological, and social systems. Different stress experiences may require different interpretations and responses. A short-term challenge, chronic overload, traumatic overwhelm, and culturally shaped obligation should not all be treated as the same problem. This is why the authors also bring in family and community support. If stress is influenced by relationships, environments, and social expectations, then reducing stress cannot depend only on private self-control. Supportive relationships can help people regulate, interpret events, access resources, and reduce isolation. The book therefore broadens the field of intervention from individual coping techniques to the context in which coping becomes possible. Its myth-challenging approach is useful because it encourages readers to ask better questions, not simply how to endure stress, but what kind of stress is present, what sustains it, and what forms of support are realistic. In conclusion, The Psychology of Stress is best suited to readers who want a compact, evidence-informed introduction to stress that is more nuanced than a standard self-help manual, but more accessible than a specialist textbook. It will be useful for students in psychology, health sciences, counseling, and well-being fields, as well as practitioners who want a clear overview of stress that includes biology, diversity, movement, and community support. General readers may benefit from its practical framing because it explains why stress symptoms occur and why coping often needs to involve the body, environment, and relationships rather than thought alone. Its intellectual value lies in connecting neuroscience, psychological theory, physiology, cultural context, and lived experience without reducing stress to a single cause. Compared with many books in the stress management category, it stands out for three reasons it treats movement as an integrated regulatory practice. It explicitly includes neurodiverse and cultural perspectives, and it frames family and community as meaningful parts of stress reduction. The book is not positioned as an exhaustive clinical manual, but as a concise guide that helps readers understand stress in context and choose more appropriate, realistic responses. If you would like to support Charlotte Mottram, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.